The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Case 15 in the Entangling Vines collection. A monk asked Saoshan Benji, "Snow covers a thousand mountains. Why is one peak not white?" Saoshan said, "You should recognize distinction within distinction." The monk asked, "What is distinction within distinction?" Saoshan said, "Not falling into being the color of the other mountains." So I swear that when I picked out this koan, I had not looked at the weather report. The snow is lightly falling outside. It's supposed to fall for many, many hours. Everything is already blanketed with snow. A thousand mountains are covered with snow. The first two lines of this koan are part of our miscellaneous koan tradition as well, and we do them separately. We say a thousand mountains are covered with snow. Why is that one peak not white? And this dialogue between Saoshan, who we've heard about a bit before, one of the founders of the Caodong school, which later became the Japanese Soto school, he sets up this beautiful question. Snow covers a thousand mountains. Why is one peak not white? Actually, that's the monk. The monk asks the question. Snow covers a thousand mountains. Why is one peak not white? And Saoshan replies, "You should recognize distinction within distinction." So earlier today in Alan's wonderful Dharma talk, he talked about sudden realization and gradual realization. These two apparent opposites, which are really two sides of one practice of sudden awakening and gradual cultivation, which can be done in any order, everyone being unique in the way that we wake up to our lives. And this differentiation, which Saoshan is talking about, he calls these two lines about the mountains covered with snow and the one peak that's not white, differentiation within differentiation. And this is a reference to a teaching about differentiation and the absolute, or the relative. Differentiation is another way of talking about the relative and the absolute, which we've also been exploring over the last couple of weeks in various koans. So this particular teaching is pointing to the relative within the relative. So we say there is the relative, which is the world of form, and then there's the absolute, which is no form, everything dropped away. And then there is the relative within the absolute within the relative. This is the relative within the relative. And while that might feel cold and theoretical to you, I wanted to explore this a little bit through a story. It's just something that occurred to me, a memory of a long time ago when I was very young. I think I was about 20 or 25, 21 years old. I was at university and I was a music and anthropology major. And this was between my junior and senior years, and I got a grant to study music in a foreign culture. And I'd always loved the Paul Simon song El Condor Pasa, which of course is based on a Peruvian folk song. You know, I'd rather be a hammer than a nail and all that stuff. And with the flutes playing and the little guitars playing, and I thought, ooh, I'd like to study that music. So I got a grant, I got equipment, I got a teeny tiny tape recorder, which all those years ago, when I was 21 years old, the teeniest, tiniest tape recorder weighed about 30 pounds and slung over my shoulder. And it was a cassette recorder and had a microphone and all that stuff. And I went down to the Andes. I got a place to live up in the Andes Mountains. And it took a long time to get there. I flew in an airplane to the capital of Peru, which was up in the northern part of the country, and I had to take a bus all the way to the southern part of the country and up into the foothills of the Andes to a little town where the train took me from the bus trip to the train trip all the way up to one of the highest points in the Andes, where there was a small city on the shores of Lake Titicaca. And then the place where I was going to do my field work was hours and hours away over a dirt road, and the only way to get there was by a truck. And so I got there finally, and all the time during this trip from the north of Peru, the capital city of Lima, to Arequipa in the south, and all the way up to Puno up in the mountains, I kept looking for the Andes. I kept looking for the mountain range. I had very romantic notions, not just of the music, but of the mountains themselves. I'd seen beautiful photographs of, really, they looked like 1,000 mountains covered in snow. And I looked and I looked, and the train lurched up the mountain, and we got to the top where Puno was, 12,500 feet, and I didn't see that beautiful vista anywhere. And I kept looking for it, and when I took the truck over the dirt road, the truck ride to the little village of Capachico, where I ended up living and doing my field work, beautiful vistas of the lake, the biggest, highest navigable lake in the world. And still, I saw a couple of mountains here and there, but I also saw dirt roads and Indians and potato fields and chickens and all kinds of things. But I didn't see the mountain range. I never saw it. And then when I finished my field work, I decided to take another train trip through the Andes all the way up to the north to see Machu Picchu. And in the town of Cusco, I kept looking. I kept looking. Where are these mountains? I'm in the Andes, but I couldn't see the Andes. I couldn't see the 1,000 mountains covered with snow. And it wasn't until I took a small transport plane from Cusco to back to the capital city, Lima. So in a way, I circled the whole country. And as we were taking off and I looked out the window, there they were, the Andes Mountains. I had to get way above them to see those romantic photographs. All the time I had been in the Andes, I had not seen them. I had seen the particularities of being in this foreign country. People and roads, lakes and hills, farmers and animals and plants. But I had never seen this great vista. And I hadn't thought of that moment until I started looking into this koan again. This koan which talks about something that is essential in our Zen practice. The capacity to shift our view so that we can see the great vistas. But if we go to that and are searching for it, like we were talking about earlier today, searching for awakening, we miss the awakening that's right in front of us. It turned out that the whole time I had been in the Andes Mountains, but I didn't see them because I was looking for something else. And as I recall that now, my memory lights up all my little neurons, and I remember smells and sights and sounds. The actual music of the Andes sounded nothing like Paul Simon. Mm-hmm. It was wild and messy, and there were brass instruments, and it wasn't romantic at all. It was quite wild. And the place that I was quite wild. And the people were beautifully wild. I had an amazing time that 3 months between my junior and senior year in university. So this is a little bit what Cao Shan is pointing to. and a little bit what we've been looking into really for the past couple of weeks. The relative world where everything is completely itself is equally valuable to the absolute world where everything drops away and there are no more troubles. These two views are interchangeable and equal and also different. So when Cao Shan answers the monk and he says, it's differentiation within differentiation. It's the relative within the relative. The monk, quite rightly, asks, what is that? And then Cao Shan responds, it's not falling into being the color of the other mountains. It's not mistaking one thing for another. Because in this world of emptiness and vastness and the absolute, there is this very thing, this moment, this coolness of the Zendo on this night with all of us. It's a Saturday night. Who would have imagined that all the people in the room tonight would be here? Isn't that what you're not supposed to do on a Saturday night? Aren't you supposed to go out and go to a bar or go to a movie or go to a restaurant or hang out with your friends or something? But, well, we are hanging out with our friends. And our entertainment is the ever-creative mind that plays all of its movies endlessly. And we get to do this all together in silence. How sweet that is. And let's value every particularity of the night ahead of us. This talk and my words and then the bells that will ring and the silence and the doksan and chanting later and bowing, all of these particularities are the absolute. They are the relative within the relative. They are the thing itself. The thing we are searching for is always right in front of us. And just to close, I want to take note of a very particular event that has its 27th anniversary tonight. 27 years ago, about a half a mile from here, a quarter of a mile from here, David and I sat down together with two friends for the first time in what we came to call the Worcester Zen community. 27 years ago, before there was a Boundless Way Zen, before we even thought we would be teachers. We started a sitting group, and that particularity has unfolded over 27 years, and now here we are in this temple, part of a vaster network of people, the great mountain range of Boundless Way Zen, and this is just one particular peak. It doesn't fall into being the color of the other mountain. It is uniquely itself. Let's all practice being uniquely ourselves and at the same time fully part of the mountain range. A monk asked Cao Shan Benji, snow covers a thousand mountains. Why is one peak not white? Cao Shan said, you should recognize distinction within distinction. The monk said, what is distinction within distinction? Cao Shan said, not falling into being the color of the other mountains. So we'll sit in silence for a few moments until the bell rings.